Hello, new you maniacs. Welcome back to the Spinner Rack here at season five of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We are your hosts.
Steven with DP7 number 28 and
And since there's no backup story, I'm just going to work on product placement detail. There's a lot of product placement.
we'd like to cut to our sponsor now. Very spot podcasted sponsor.
Come stay at Best Western. New Universe launched in 1986. It was a fresh imprint from Marvel Comics dedicated to a more grounded, less fantastic approach to comic books. The original idea was the world outside your window and included real-time progress, which we've kind of kept up with. The new universe has changed a lot in 2 years, and in the story, we're hurtling towards 1989. The world knows about paranormals, and the US government has started capturing and drafting them into the army and the CIA. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit, and also creating new, sometimes twisted paranormals. Only a few issues remain for each surviving series, and they all seem to be heading towards war. With our podcast, of course, you can follow along with us each week and go through each remaining comic, the order they hit the rack, or just check out individuals if you already have a favorite. Kickersinc.com definitely have some good stuff to look at there while you're waiting for the next episode to drop. And you can find us on X at Kickersinc.
All right, this week we get back to busy DP7. DP6?
Yeah.
Charlie, Stephanie, Miriam, and Jenny Swenson, the first four recruits of the CIA's Special Paranormal Task Force. I'm afraid Lenore has been sadly disappeared an issue ago.
There's
And Dave and Randy, two members of the US Army's First Paranormal Battalion, in a saga filled with countless other human beings and paranormals who have been caught up in a world that is relentlessly drifting towards a bizarre and inexplicable future.
That short pause was brought to you by Global Find and Replace. It
<It's>...
puts the Andy
Whoopsie.
Randy.
Anyway, this week, DP728, it's reunion time for DP7, but instead of champagne and smiles, the event could demand funeral wreaths and tears because ready to attack and destroy them is their greatest enemy. The candidate.
Was
Oh,
I supposed
okay.
to fill in
I
there?
don't know. It's like, it's
Drop the
like,
ball.
who is their greatest enemy? The Candidate is written by Mark Gruenwald, penciled by Paul Ryan, inked by Romeo Tangal. 32 pages. We will stop talking about Mando paper now.
Oh.
Okay, Mando offset paper. Direct sales only, $1.50.
Mando offset paper is my favorite part.
You know, I never did go back and check the supposed sales figures to see if the month that the price went up, there was a drop in sales. Under.
Yeah, something always to do. No backup story. So we have an extra length story this time. But there are some letters, including a whopper of a long letter, and maybe at least a couple interesting things in universe news, which seems to be mired in issue one still. But so it goes.
Yeah, my dream that we would have a sort of a roadmap of the first few months of the new universe, as given in Marvel, what was it, Saga, where you had sort of the
Right.
events of the early Marvel universe. Well, let's just say they've overkilled the first issues a lot.
A lot.
And anyway, well, once again, we have an extra length DP7 story. Paul Ryan doing able to give you a 27 page story with no loss in quality. 28. And so luckily we avoid some of the variable backup stories. And I hate to
Yeah.
say it, but I think we've run out of official handbook pages that are coming. So,
Womp womp.
and the maps included.
Oh, no maps.
Sorry, dude.
There might be a map in the war, maybe, or something.
That's true. I guess we've got do have something to live for. Okay.
Potentially.
Let's just don't keep like dragging me on with nothing. Anyway, let's dive on in. DP7 number 28, cover dated February 1989, and we believe hit the stands November 1st, 1988, which you will see is about a week before the actual election day of 1988.
All right.
So we're primed for election excitement. So we see the cover. We have actually the DPs, the Displaced Paranormals, sort of as given. We have Chrome, Friction, Miriam, aka Sponge, and Stephanie Glitter fighting apparently with Dave, aka Mastodon, and probably Randy inside his antibody, as we saw in the last issue. They are all in sort of a street with a wall behind them and a big poster on it with our beloved new president. All right, well, it's just a
Presidential candidate.
candidate, this is true, of a portrait with a slogan, "Vote Voight for President." The
What?
men and women of DP7 are fighting each other pretty hard there. It's really good. Very action oriented and gives you a sense of the action and mystery of this issue. Jumping on inside, we've got it's pretty much the same intro text on the inside front cover. Although, like I was saying, you've got the Miriam, Charlotte, Stephanie, Jenny. Yeah, they also say the first five recruits. Okay.
Yeah,
But
I think
yes.
basically, like, because Lenore was on there previously and then she's kind of gone, so.
Yeah, so we've got the four women and the two men, and they were left as the last issue. Mark Gruenwald and Paul Ryan, co-creators, writer and penciler again. Danny Bulinotti back as anchor. So, diving on into the story, we've got a splash page of Steph Glitter breaking down what appears to be a hotel room door. And narration box says September 19, 1988, somewhere in North Carolina. And she is yelling, "Or so help me, I'll break this door down." Crap, boom. Doors go
Bam.
kablam. Door goes flying inside. And we also get the title in the shadow, The Candidate. The Candidate was a movie with Robert Redford that came out in the 70s. It was kind of more of like an idealistic young candidate and how he gets kind of drafted into an election. Not a lot of overlap with our story today.
I like that the date is September 19th, which is really, really close to our current recording time, September 12th.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. This will be posted hopefully right around the
November.
November. So, yeah, right. Yeah. Also ahead of our election.
Yeah. Who
Yay.
would win?
The like clip art I can get out of this issue will be great for that week, let me tell you. Looking forward to it already. Anyway, the first thing Steffi does is in this hotel room is see her kids. Ben, Emily, Jilly, thank goodness you're safe. Mommy. It looks a little dingy in the way a room that has been lived in by Chuck Harrington would be in every appearance he has made to date. There's no Cheeto bag on the floor, but you get the drift. Anyway, the kids are all like super excited to see mommy. Mommy, Daddy said you were going away again and weren't ever coming back. I always come back, Emmy. Always. Yahoo! Your father, where is he? Daddy went to the potty.
Yeah. Pooping.
Which would be an even also amusing story, but Steph gets to the bathroom and sees the window open and the curtains flying. Chuck, window. He must have seen me coming. And we see a car tearing out of the parking lot.
Of
And
the
the first
Best
cut,
Western.
the Best Western, yeah.
I'm on product placement, remember?
Yeah, good. It is this is a number of things that yeah have a
We also
great
have a
effect.
Care Bears-ish onesie.
Oh yeah, I missed that one. Steph is outside where Miriam Sorensen and Charlie Beck are were supposedly on guard duty, but they're like, it was so dark, I didn't see him sneak past. Charlie, children, stay here with Aunt Charlie. I'll be right back. And a couple of looky-loos note that the woman, Steph, is glowing. So this is, there's a, she just takes off on foot. And it's really reminiscent of the Bionic Woman or Wonder Woman, whenever they would be chasing down a car in the
Yeah.
70s. It's got a like a classic vibe to it. So Steph is thinking to herself something about, I can't believe this guy, and he stole our kids, and the CIA put out an APB for me, and it took a couple days for it to turn up, but I can't believe he did this. We flip over to Chuck's point of view, who is always sort of smugly self-satisfied with himself. I made it, dumb bimbo I'm married to. I'm not about to let her haul me in. As we see panel to panel, Steph getting closer and closer in the rear view. Chuck continues, don't know how she tracked me down so fast. Guess I should have switched cars. Well, duh, Chuck. He starts breaking into his usual. It's a relief to get rid of those whiny kids, though. I only took them to honk her off. Yeah, there's something about Gruenwald's villains that like they have the best, most humorous monologues, maybe. Yeah, Chuck's in full villain mode here. Steph is, as we go through these panels, is getting closer and closer. Finally, leaping up, he sees spots something in the rearview mirror. And she is jumping onto the back of the Buick. Product placement.
Oh, man, you're taking my job.
And she's thinking that she had told the CIA that it's bringing in Chuck is her job. You got a lot to account for, Charles Harrington, and we're settling it tonight. Dun, dun, dun. So then she does the old she's on the roof of the car and she's yelling at him or something. Stop the car. And he inside is not having it, so he starts jerking the wheel back and forth to try to shake her off. Chuck, what are you doing? Trying to turn my useless wife into road pizza, ditz. She
Notably, he's thinking that, not saying it.
Well, yeah, he's discretion's the better part of valor with Chuck, I guess. She gets a she hauls off and punches straight through the roof, and he's right next to his head. So they're driving along a twisty, windy road, and Chuck continues thinking to himself, "I hate having a, I can't stand having a wife who's stronger than me and who can heal people. It's not fair. She gets superpowers. All I get is AIDS. Me, the straightest guy I know."
So straight.
Denial ain't just a river in Egypt, Chuck.
Maybe
Chuck's.
he's just trying to say he's got a lot of gay friends.
He was somewhat anemic, got a lot of transfusions. I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's like by comparison to all the other guys who work at the cheese factory or wherever it was he worked at.
Right.
It's a, you know. Anyway,
Like the
so
steel mill in The Simpsons.
exactly. We work hard, we play hard too. She keeps going faster and faster. Is he trying to get us both killed? Steph spots a curve up ahead and thinks we'll never make it if that she doesn't cool it. So she yells, "Take your foot off the gas, Chuck." "No way, Steffi Poo. I've got nothing but the grave to look forward to. And if I'm gonna die, sweetie pie, so are you." Steph thinks that he has lost his mind, tears the roof off the car, and grabs him, and as he's saying, "What? Let me go. No one's dying tonight, Chuck. Not even you." They leap just as the car goes over a cliff in a real nice action pose. They land. Chuck is knocked out probably, and she carries him up the cliff, perhaps. And as she does, she thinks to herself, "It's over, Chuck. Everything between us is gone. Even the hate. Oh, I hated you for not telling me about your disease, perhaps even infecting me with it. Or stealing the children." Yeah, that's not a small thing there, Steph. "But I'm not the kind of person who can hold on to hate for very long. I pity you, Chuck, and that's the last thing you'll ever get from me."
Dang.
Dang.
I'm guessing this is the last appearance of Chuck.
Most likely. I think the vibe that Steffi is giving off there is very. And yeah, she doesn't. I don't think Chuck has a legal leg to stand on. So anyway, we switch over to the lip of the crater where the city of Pittsburgh once stood. I
And a
think
mobile
this.
gas station.
There we go. You know that there's some inset panels and a nice scenic long shot. And I kind of wondered because it was a mobile that was in the pile of trash they were on before. I was kind of wondering if this was like the same stuff, like, you know, where they'd gone off the cliff
All
back in
right, yeah.
18 or 19. Because, like, there's the roof and there's a couple of trashed cars. I can't remember if, like, a school bus was one of the things in the story, though. I
Yeah.
don't know. Or maybe Paul Ryan just thinks there's a mobile gas station every 50 feet in Pittsburgh. Not quite, but okay. So who's climbing out of the pit? It is Dave Mastodon, and he is still carrying Randy antibody from the last issue where Randy had been blasted with pit juice and seemed to be paralyzed. David rescued him at the last minute, and as he is saying, when they get off up over the edge of the cliff, it has taken days of nonstop climbing, but at last we're out of the pit. I never doubted you could do it, Dave.
DP7 issue 18, they climb through a Sunoco.
Oh my. Sorry to mislead you all, beloved listeners.
No
They
school
say,
bus, as far as I can tell.
oh. Well. It's more realistic then that you have a variety of gas stations, which is what you actually have.
Right?
Oh, they say, you know, we're free, pal, not just of the pit, but of the army, of everything. Dave correctly surmises that the army threw him down there on a bogus mission, intended to just be a suicide mission, just to get rid of me. And they'll never waste a single man hour bothering to see if I croaked or not. And no one knows that Randy took off in that antibody. And so you're as good as MIA too. They don't even know you went to the pit, you said. So we'll rest for a few hours and then make away from our way out of here. Randy says he's getting a little more movement back. He was totally paralyzed before, and he is, as they say, entirely encased within an antibody. So he is no longer just the maker of antibodies. The antibody is now him, which is not as cool as it sounded before when, like, the annoying orphan Evan was doing it,
Right.
because he seems to be stuck in there. Yeah, Randy talks about getting blasted with pit juice, and he knows that other people got poorly affected by it. He's familiar with the family story. And so he thinks, I'll be getting off easy compared to them if all that happens to me from my exposure is I'm permanently bonded to the inside of this thing. Dave feels bad about it, but Randy thinks, you know, it's my decision to follow you. And, you know, now I'm just one of the paranormals who can't hide it anymore either. Anyway, they crash just out in the open. Pretty tired, no doubt. Seven hours later, they are getting up. Randy is starting to have some movement. Still pretty stiff, but Dave's excited he's gotten his back. Perhaps because he doesn't have to carry him anymore, but oh, I see. When you're it's a vertical climb, you're completely paralyzed. But once we get out, oh, suddenly you can walk nicely. Oh, good, okay. Anyway, which way do we go? Should we head back to Wisconsin? I sure wish I knew I could see Steffi again, says Dave, of course. But who knows where she and her husband are now? Probably way up in Canada. Say, how do you feel about Canada? Oh, good.
Gotta go track down that woodsman again.
Exactly.
Also,
We
the
switch back
Burger King
to
sign.
now South Carolina, I think. There, Steffi as her kids and Miriam and Charlie are all in hospital waiting room. Steffi's coming out and saying that she had tried to heal up some of Chuck's minor injuries, but he has to stay for a lot of treatment. And I have no interest in seeing Chuck for a long time. So the kids look pretty tired. So the ladies grab them and start heading out. And Steph's not too into being in the CIA if it's going to take her away from her kids. She's got priorities, but she hasn't decided. And suddenly they get a surprise from the ghost of Lenore.
Yeah, that's totally what I was thinking.
Strangely, they came back from that mission a couple of issues ago, and perhaps Jenny had raided Lenore's wardrobe. Oh, she won't need this anymore. And grabbed her like long hat and trench coat outfit. Now that Jenny is encased in, as they say, chrome, she makes a bit of a spectacle herself. So Jenny is there, confronts Stephanie and the other two. Says she just got in. A company's got a new assignment for us. They sent me to tell you all about it. The ladies aren't too excited by this. If it's another one like Brazil, they can count me out. One suicide mission a year is my limit. No, it's here on home soil, New York City. Home very soily. No. Miriam pipes up. The sludge center of America? It's downwind of the pit. I hear it's the most polluted city in the world. Charlie, on the other hand, is tickled pink. New York City. Wow, I always wanted to see New York. Is a chorus line still playing? Charlie was a dancer, so I understand her love of theater. Steph's not too excited, but Jenny continues with her mission assignment. Remember how you told the company you used to be at that clinic in the Wisconsin? Well, now the guy who used to run the place is getting up in the world. The CIA is very interested in him. You mean Philip Nolan Voigt? What's he done to? Guess you haven't been following the news much. Voigt is the front runner for the Democratic Party's presidential candidate. Oh, really? Don't, don't, don't.
Well, I mean, maybe they'll get lucky and people will decide that Voight's too old and they'll just replace him.
It's
Nah, that can never happen. Didn't see it coming.
didn't see it. The next morning, 11 miles from the lip of the pit, Dave is still in his uniform, which looks pretty trashed, and well, camo fatigues. And Randy is covered up with kind of a trench coat and hat. And I don't know, it's a hat that reminds me of what Ed Piskor used to wear sometimes when he wouldn't wear a baseball cap.
Like a little bit of like a bucket hat kind of vibe, but it looks like Like you're in a video game and you just like hit the randomizer for like the outfit of your main character. It's like orange coat, blue pants, white hat. And then he's got the dark like antibody starry skin, so it just looks really bizarre. I love it.
Yeah, he I must have scavenged stuff because it's everything looks pretty bizarre, and they're getting the old trope of the cars just passing them by and no one's stopping while they're hitchhiking. They realize there's a lot of debris around the side of the road, so Dave hauls a telephone pole into the middle of the road. And when a big truck does stop, come by later, it has to slow way down to go around it. And Dave and Randy sort of break the padlock and jump into the back of the truck. So they are on their way somewhere.
The Rosies.
I kind of thought this was, I couldn't honestly tell because I don't think they're going to New York yet. So they're, I assume they're going to Wisconsin at least. So probably headed, west. They chat a bit, and there's a bit of the inside dope of Randy is still hungry. You get hungry inside that antibody, Rand. What happens when you have to go to the bathroom? Luckily, we don't find the answer to that story. But sometime that night, they get off in, yes, Rosie's Diner. Do you remember
Rosie's
Rosie's?
Truck and Haven.
Rosie's Truck and Haven, yes, but do you remember Rosie's?
Was Rosie's Diner, was that the name of the one in Justice?
That's right. Yeah, Justice number three, I believe. He and Arnie were on a cross-country road trip. Rosie's Diner was in, I want to say Oklahoma or.
Yeah, maybe I guess it's a chain.
But yeah, so somewhere, maybe Ohio? We've got another Rosie's Truck and Haven.
Yeah. That's like the trucking version, I guess. Because yeah, even the sign in the Justice one is similar because it's like written in cursive.
Nice. I well,
Well, sometimes written in cursive.
I'm pretty yeah, I mean, I think they're like in other different states, so it's just kind of an odd coincidence. But and
Right.
everyone died in Justice number th three. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Well,
yeah,
if Dave gets his hand eaten off, then
it
I'll
will
be
have all been doing.
suspicious of whether anyone should ever go to Rosie's.
Just keep driving. Yeah, they're chatting about how they can look less conspicuous. Should I take off my hat? No. Suddenly, Dave spots a newspaper headline, Chicago Tribune. Okay. And it has presidential candidate Voight something. And then below it, Dukakis 30%, Bush 20%. Everyone's laughing at Bush at this point. Voight's not only alive, but he's running for president. Good God, that man's a menace, a paranormal with incredible delusions of grandeur. How can he have gotten so far so fast? Paranormal power? Overpower, as it were? Yeah, I bet his power abilities had a lot to do with it. He seemed to be able to mimic both of our powers. Who knows what else he can do, says Dave. Always wondered what happened to him after the clinic. Always hoped it was always too much to hope he'd died. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Yes, we've suddenly got ourselves a goal in life, to find Voight and expose him for the neo-Nazi he is.
Real Nazi?
Neo-Nazi?
Yeah. Wasn't like a paranormal supremacist or anything. He was just like,
Egomaniac. I
yeah.
mean, yeah, he seemed to be mostly just interested in his own development more than like we as a people must do something. I don't know. Yeah, it's a
I mean, that's just how people talk, though. I mean, like when somebody's bad, you call them a Nazi.
bad equals Nazi, Nazi equals bad. Yeah, okay. So yeah, what can we do it? Who can? We may be the only two people in the country who know the truth about him. Was it the there was like the there was a guy in Merck, like a candidate that he was protecting, and everyone's like, oh, he's a neo-Nazi, as they're remembering.
He actually kind of was, though, so.
Well, you know, so it's like 50%. I don't know. Anyway, they're talking about the old therapy group who also knew Voight, but who knows where they were. At New York City, a day later, they are in a hotel room, maybe, and we have sort of half of the Femme Force setting up surveillance. We've got Miriam and Charlie with kind of binoculars looking across the out the window across the street. Jenny is at a desk with some sort of listening radio or something, and Stephanie is there, but then so are all her kids, who are running around playing with some off-model, which she says are Star Wars toys. One's playing with a bridal to doll, and one's eating.
M something?
I was gonna assume McDonald's. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't look like McDonald's though. It looks like, I don't know.
McRonald's? I don't know. So the ladies have all decided to get this surveillance gig going, and Charlie's thinking to herself she wants to take a break and go check out a show. But anyway, the binocular view has that they are across the street from the campaign headquarters of Voight for President. It
Next to a Pepsi sign.
some bodega. Yeah, it's not a very large storefront, but Voight really is supposed to spend a lot any time at his campaign headquarters? Wouldn't we be better off bugging his house or something? Eh, we'll try this for a while, see if it pans out. Not that I'm complaining, mind you, says Miriam, but couldn't the CIA get in serious trouble if this little operation was discovered? That's their problem. Yeah, usually the FBI is the one that's bugging presidential candidates, right? That's anyway.
What are you talking about?
It was protecting us from something.
I'm guessing the CIA would just be like, oh, we don't know these people. They don't look like CIA agents to you. They're not on our records.
They're not very well trained, and we train our agents very well. Maybe a lot of the intelligence agencies' rules or restrictions have relaxed since the pit, or maybe each agency wants its own intelligence. That's Stephanie, and she's probably onto something there. Let's see. So they're thinking, well, if they want any evidence of paranormality, snooping on him from this distance may never get us anywhere. And we sort of turn the camera around, and we're so that we're looking front of the women, and we see the hotel room door with the kids playing in front of it. And then in the next panel, they're all in the same position roughly, but the door is open and Philip Nolan Voight is standing there.
Whoops.
And, whoops.
Hey, we found him.
Ben, whoever Steph's oldest boy is, mama, it's a ghost. No, mama, a man. What? Huh? Who? Voight strides into the room, full of confidence. You can see why he's done well in the presidential campaign. Stephanie Harrington, Charlie Beck, Miriam Sorensen, and someone I haven't met before. Jennifer Sor Swenson. How do you know her names? I don't know. Obviously, I am aware of what you four lady spies are doing. I've come to inform you that I will not permit it. And then his head has this sort of the figure, the graphic of like mind control or something.
Yeah, it's a bit Wayne Tucker,
A bit.
Cyforcy.
And he just, henceforth, you four work for me. And they all are start buckling. My head, he's doing something to it. You will tell your superiors nothing about me. You will obey all my direct orders. You will tell no one of your meet our meeting, and you'll vote for me this November, as you were. So they are left sort of dazed and confused. What are we going to do? Well, we can't tell the company, that's for sure. Jenny thinks, I say we just keep up the pretense that we're spying on him and give the but fail to give the company any information. The old it's just half-ass our jobs for a while. That's
The American way.
you can't beat it. Ooh, well, that went well. 2 days later. I remember about the team of Mastodon and Antibody have arrived in New York City, and both of them are kind of they're from Wisconsin, so they're like, wow, I always wanted to come here. And it looks terrible. It's grungy plus because everyone says that it's downwind of the pit and it's gotten worse.
Yeah. Though
But
there's a Coca-Cola sign
there we go.
and a Marlboro on a bus. Think that might be it. We might be running out of product placement.
So they say they're gonna try and find someone who knows where Voight's campaign headquarters is. 3 hours later, they arrive at the campaign headquarters, complaining about how either no one knew or no one would talk to them for looking so weird. And it's after midnight, so but the lights are still on. Maybe we should check out what's going on in there. Maybe I can send out an antibody, thinks Randy. Huh? Randy, looks like you can still send him out, but not like you used to. He's only a foot tall.
What?
This tiny thing pops out of Randy's chest.
It's like that old story where Superman could shoot out the tiny Superman, but it stole his powers.
It does, yeah, it's perfect. And I don't know, is that doll man size? Because like a foot tall isn't like microscopic, but it's
One of the old school G.I. Joes, like the big dolls, yeah.
oh right. I was kind of thinking maybe Ryan has a there's some like little model figures to kind of help your figure arrangement, so you can kind of pose them and they're like very movable. But man, maybe just like an old G.I. Joe would do the trick as well. I don't know. Anyway, he sends it off. Go inside, stay out of sight, look for Voight. Wonder why that happened. Windy. So they sort of reminisce about the good old days of fighting with Voight in issue 12. And I hope his doesn't notice us because we are not even at full strength and we had a hard enough time doing it before. Oh man, look. And coming right out of the door, it's Philip Nolan Voight. And the antibody is just sort of riding on his shoulders and waving to them. Hey guys. Landers and O'Brien, what an unexpected surprise. Come in, gentlemen, come in. Make yourself comfortable. I'm sure you want some questions that are foremost in your mind. Well, how did I get here today? Well, I looked like I'd been atomized. That's what I wanted you to believe, of course. I realized that by my departure, I could maneuver you two highly responsible individuals into carrying on my work at the clinic for me, leaving me free to pursue other ambitions. A pity after what happened to the place after you boys left. But when I'm president, I'll have it reopened with federal funding.
Oh, see, he's not that
He's pretty much like the guy I used to work for.
I feel like he's kind of BS in here. Like, oh yeah, it was my grand plan to get defeated by you two guys, and it's just worked out exactly how I wanted to. I think he just can't quite admit failure. So I'm like, all right.
He's like the 3-minute manager. He's got like some technique for like always, making the best out of a bad situation, taking credit for any thing that goes right in the company.
I do like
As
the
you
little
see,
antibody like brings them the hats, though.
it's kind of funny that he says have a hat, and then over the next three panels, the antibody picks a couple up, gives it to Dave and Randy, and then. Anyway, Randy's response, if you're elected Voight, let me dispel any doubts you may have about that. Power on. Power bounces right off of both of them. Dave, I think he's trying to. Dave, puts his fist through the hat. You can go stuff yourself, Voight. Yeah, since Dave, as we know, is unsusceptible to mental manipulation, and with Randy stuck inside the antibody, so is he. So both of these guys are protected from Voight's manipulation. But and Dave says, "Well, how are you gonna stop us without that from revealing that you're a dangerous paranormal without blowing the lid off the whole skeevy campaign, huh, Voight? What you gonna do? Kill us? What?" No, they are. Yep, Femme Force has arrived behind him.
Lady spies.
You called for us, Mr. Voight. They are all in their jumpsuit uniforms. Dave and Randy are taken aback. Each of them immediately says whichever one they find most attractive. Stephanie, Charlie. Voight and his dialogue continues that he had a job for the ladies. These two have threatened me. I'd like you to terminate them. What? Dave and Randy are, look, can't you break through these illusions with this mind control? The ladies, no, jump right at him. You heard him, the man, girls. Let's do it. Wait, Steffi, don't you recognize me? It is mostly Jenny and Charlie versus Randy, and then Miriam and Stephanie versus Dave. Dave and Randy keep saying, can't you fight this? Your mental control. Sorry, Dave, we have orders. Jenny is saying that she didn't know the antibodies could speak, and so she realizes a second later that it is well,
That Randy's actually like inside of it, yeah.
yeah, I
Well,
was gonna
in
say,
a
did
minute,
she?
she recognizes it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Voight says, you're doing fine, ladies. Now I'm going to carry on. I'm going to go to deal with something else.
Yeah, he does the classic villain walk away before the job's done thing, sort of.
Sort of. I think it's he's got plenty to give them plenty to keep their hands busy because yeah, Dave is
Gotta go mail out some more of those hats.
also let's see. But anyway, it's after midnight and there's no one else there, so they are all just going crazy. Charlie's actually using her friction powers to slide, make him slide, and then stick to the floor while Jenny is coming to just crash a desk into him. Steffi is knocking Dave over with a judo kick while Miriam does the, I don't know, fire hose of water that's always kind of good for a laugh. Oh, Dave's thinking to himself, I was lusting to see Steph again, but I didn't expect like this. Am I supposed to fight the woman who means more to me than anybody else in the world? She throws a flagpole at him. He barely gets something but to block it. He's brainwashed you, Steph. Don't you realize that? Sure we do. So what? It's Charlie has a hold of Randy. That he thinks, well, maybe I can use the mental connection power of these antibodies. So he remembers some like the time he saved her, and they're like both half dressed. In issue 18. It does surprise her for a second, but it does not break the stranglehold Voight has on her. He flips her, and then. So Charlie says, J Randy's inside that thing, Jenny. I felt him. And Jenny still does a flying tackle at him. And Randy, because he hadn't recognized her, says, this can't be that Jenny that we met at the pit, can it? So, yeah, we've got a lot of like recognition going on sort of all through this fight, which is kind of amusing, but it has been a while since everyone's been all together. Yeah.
That's true. Just need
Jenny.
Scuzz to break through the door and get them all to stop or something.
Guys, you love each other. Just admit it. Wait, that doesn't sound Scuzz at all. Let's see. Miriam has Dave in a headlock. Miriam, I don't want to hurt you, but Dave, you already have all those months in the clinic on the road. You ignored my come-ons. And while she starts thin, she then starts growing fat. Well, you're gonna have a tough time ignoring this, Buster. So she's like sucking the liquid out of him, which is actually pretty bad. He's like, ah, man, I feel dizzy, weak. As Miriam goes flying. I think Steffi starts punching him from the front, and over on the other side of the room, Jenny throws Randy into the wall. Oh,
no, through the window.
Right out the window. Yeah. Key rash. There's still a few people around who notice this, but street looking the worse for wear. As let's see, Steph is hauling off on Dave. CIA taught me to fight pretty well, didn't they, David? Steffi, stop. Doesn't look like the army did the same for you. Ouch. Ouch. So she picks Dave up and throws him out the front as well.
Maybe through the door?
Maybe.
Like through
yeah,
the
yeah,
door?
Yeah, there's the door in the corner. You're right. Yeah, Ryan is like super clear normally. And if you have any questions, you can sort of look around and he'll have given you enough clues of what happened. It's pretty good. Still alive, are you? I always did admire your toughness. And Dave and Randy are both on the sidewalk, barely functional. Randy realizes he hasn't tried flying. So he sort of leaps up in the air and tries to get going. Jenny jumps off a car and tackles him in midair. He calls to his antibodies to come and help him. They're all about a foot tall, and they do not make much of an impact on Jenny Swenson.
A distractor, I guess, at best, but...
Yeah, he's got about a half a dozen of them, so it is a good crowd. But Charlie is just kind of, what is with these things? Shoo, shoo. Randy had touched the earth for a second, and unfortunately, that was enough to get Charlie to stick him to it. So now that he's immobile, she does the flying judo kick to him. I don't know how you were learned to do these. Where you learn to be inside one of these shadow things, Randy. But not being able to see your gorgeous face is only making this easier for me. That's what you say. You're only delaying the inevitable. Steffi has grabbed a parking meter and is about to haul off on Dave. And Jen and Charlie are standing over Randy. Look, I knocked him out, says Charlie. And the junior antibodies just disappeared when he got knocked out. Interesting. So Dave deflects Steph's blow. Please stop and listen to me. I'm not going to fight you, but I'm not going to let you kill me either. I really care about you, Steffi. You know that, don't you? Yes, but it just doesn't matter. Not now. She hauls off and gives him my... like a left cross, something like that.
Yep, right on the jaw.
On the jaw. He tosses her back near a fire hydrant. Steph knocks the hydrant top off with the parking meter, providing water for Miriam. Dave's like, Randy looks really hurt. I better try to scoop him up and get out of here. There's just no reasoning with these women. Uh-oh. You're surrounded, Davey, says Miriam. And yeah, all four are now around him. And she said, but she says, I have first dibs on you. So she gives the water cannon to Dave. He goes down, and while he struggles to get up, Steph and Chrome pick up a taxi, maybe, or at least a
Yeah.
car that was parked there, and get ready to. As Dave's like, we're going easy on them because they're our friends, while they are going all out on to stomp us. We've got to get. Oh, jeez. And yeah, this taxi crashes right on top of Dave. He's just kind of groaning at this point, and Jenny's like, that should have broken his back, but he's still moving. He does get up enough to toss the taxi off his back. And Steffi says, looks like there's no way to keep this from being messy. With the parking meter in hand, she's like, a couple of swings with this should cave in his head.
Yikes.
And she's probably right there, but standing in the midst of them suddenly, it's Philip Nolan Voight again. That won't be necessary, Agent Harrington. Excellent work, ladies. See, positive reinforcement. That's like the 3-minute man in your life.
Yeah.
I've saved your lives, boys. These women would not have stopped until you were stone cold dead. Believe it. Why stop them then? Are we supposed to be in your debt now? Why stop them? Because I trust I've made my point. You two are totally ineffectual against me. Why even bother? If you two so much as breathe a word about me to the press or anyone, I will exercise my control over your young friends here again. Only this time I will not have them attack you. I will tell them to commit suicide. Dave thinks, suicide.
Not again.
Not again. You saw the ferocity with which they had fought you. Picture that same ferocity directed against themselves. I don't need to be anywhere near them to issue the command either, so don't try sneaking up on me or doing it when I'm out of town. Got a campaign all across this whole country, you know, but anyway. I trust I'll not be hearing from any of you again. I advise you all to leave before the authorities arrive, and you'll have to explain this vandalism. And as he walks away, he turns one last cutting blow. Oh, yes, one other thing. Don't forget to vote November 8th. The end. The end? The end.
I'm starting to kind of like this guy.
He really
Suppose
grows on you.
we're not, maybe. I mean, he's definitely the bad guy in the situation for our poor main characters who made them beat each other up pretty badly. But I mean, he's just trying to get elected, right? All's fair, something like that. Let's try.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a lot of like media attacks he has to fend off every day for unwarranted accusations and all kinds of things. I mean, it's a rough go being a presidential candidate. And, you know, I kind of feel it's
I
like.
guess, I mean, all he has to do is get some people in front of him and he can just command them all to vote for him if you just do that enough times.
So it's a good question. Yeah, like because we haven't seen this campaign, and we are, according to this, in September. We're a couple months. Yeah, September 19th, and then it takes a few more days afterwards. So we're still a couple months out. Although this book hit the comic book shops exactly like a week before Election Day.
Yeah.
So it is sort of timely in that sense. But yeah, the election, we'd been surprised. They kind of noted it over the year, but then it would be like, you know, not exactly on the same sort of schedule that we real world
Yeah,
election
I
days.
was a little young, but Dukakis was a pretty weak candidate, right? Like people, he didn't really get a lot of people excited for him, or
That's how you would, yeah. I mean, the
maybe
there
the
was there
jokes
was
were that he
more
wasn't.
interest in him than what do you say, Mondale in 84. Remember, it was
Yeah.
like a blowout for Reagan to get reelected, and then Reagan's still pretty popular in the late 80 in 88, and Bush was, you know, had enough kind of a push to hey, I'm the next best thing, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting that we do have a sort of, I mean, it's really nothing to do with the comic, that we do sort of have this cycle of, you know, an inoffensive vice president who then becomes the like de facto nominee. So then you've got these kind of mediocre people as like running for president kind of thing. It's pretty kind of interesting that that can
Truly, the
work out in someone's
structure of,
favor.
yeah, the structure of the government doesn't really make the vice president as useful as they could have been. You know, they could have been like more like the Secretary of State or defense. You know, those guys kind of have
Yeah,
more
give them something to
function.
do.
Yeah, but yeah, people, so yeah, it was a the real world election. It was Dukakis versus Bush. I don't remember. I think Dukakis had that like there was a like a charismatic guy early on who got blown out because he was cheating on his wife or some like scandal,
That's happened so
and
many times.
very popular. And there was I'm gonna say there was a good, you know, bunch of Republican candidates that, you know, Bush came out over. It wasn't, you know, easy for either of them to get to the nomination. According to this, they've been saying that Voight was the Democrat and the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
So you can imagine a situation where like there was a initial debate and Dukakis doesn't do very well, and everyone thinks we got to just find someone else. And Voight is there, and so they're like, "Hey, why don't you just be the nominee?" I don't know. It's like I mean, had he'd been like a university professor, I think, before the clinic. So then he's the head of the clinic, and then I don't know. There was the Psi-Force 26, where they mentioned that he was head of a committee of paranormal affairs or something.
Yeah, it's sort of like something influential, something really.
Yeah. So,
Yeah,
anyway.
it's interesting. I'm not sure if they're setting us up for like he's the continual main villain and we'll kind of follow his story, or if this is like, oh man, this guy's doing up to something in the background and he's kind of set them up where they can't stand against him whatsoever. So, I mean,
It's
I don't
certainly
remember how
it.
far I read into DP7 the first time, but I have no memory of any of it. So that's kind of where they're leaving me, I suppose. It's like, all right, well, are they going to keep trying to go against this guy, or just, hey, the team's back together. There's nothing we can do here. Let's move on.
Yeah, I remember a little something, and I. We'll have to sort of see how it plays out more than my memory will tell me, but the it certainly seems like that would be like a good big bad. I think DC had like Lex Luthor president for a while, and
Yep.
Marvel had it was like Norman Osborn as something, head of SHIELD
Right.
or something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You can do, I mean, so something like that would be, I mean, you would think worth a year's worth of stories, you know. Yeah, so this definitely would have been a good direction, I believe, for you know, the sort of the legitimate government is under the control of this crazy paranormal who can out paranormal any of you. So how do you fight that?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not crazy per
Well,
se. He's just.
he's actually, yeah, pretty, whatever reason,
He's a kind of
rational.
like a rational dictator or something. Like, he will basically, won't stand for anyone not doing whatever he wants. But, and obviously he must have some like pocket paranormal that he's borrowing this power from, but.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's not using any of the powers we saw before. Some of the DPs he had borrowed, like the antibody, he had like made a giant one, and he didn't do anything with Randy's antibody. There, some of their powers have changed over the time, so I don't know if his has also changed. But yeah, all we saw was like psychic power. So this is like, Again, maybe you could have also had Psi-Force coming after this as well. Let's see.
There's no way he's got Wayne because Wayne's in Siberia. Wayne had the same powers as Proudhawk. Proudhawk's dead. So maybe just a third mystery paranormal that he's stealing from.
Yeah, I don't know if he like can keep these powers or they like wear off or he needs like so you to be around for him to borrow them from you.
I just kind of assumed it was needed to be around, but yeah, it's never actually been explained. So.
I may be confusing this a bit with what was it, Heroes? There was like the guy who would like eat your brain and take your powers or something. And like it was the whole like, oh, you quickly become overpowered if you can take people's powers and you don't they don't wear off or anything, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't
Gross.
know. Let me see. Other notes.
Well, we only got DP6 currently, so we gotta
That's
add a new person.
I was gonna say the so I posted a thing from the annual where it's them in New York City, it looked like, and want to say, or there was like Scuzz and Mutator.
Okay.
So we're like in the picture. Definitely Mutator. But I also thought Lenore was in that picture. So I wasn't taking it too seriously at first. But
Right.
so there's at least a couple we could bring back. Not sure. Yeah. I don't think it said officially. Definitely Jenny is part of the DPs now.
Right. Yeah, Lenora's toast. I'm guessing Jeff's not coming back since he's sort of permanently in the army. Though we might see him again. I'm guessing he's not joining the squad.
Let's assume he's off the board for now.
And there's
Yeah,
all the other
so.
teens if they do end up reuniting with Scuzz.
Yeah, he always. It's funny because Scuzz literally left in like issue 3 or 4. He was like the first one out the door.
Right.
So yeah, he's definitely the least likely to be a joiner.
He's so much fun, though. We just gotta have him back. You know, I'm just hoping he comes back.
You know, I forgot to mention Steffi is in a nice, I want to say it's like a Top Gun jacket in the first part where she's chasing Chuck.
Yeah, with the star on it.
Yeah, it
Take
looks
a
pretty
lesson from
sharp.
that Psi-Force, man. Get those jackets.
Get the jackets. The Black Powers wouldn't have gone anywhere if they didn't have the jackets. And then yeah, they all had they sort of jumpsuit look in
Yeah,
New
they're a
York.
little Power Ranger-y because everybody gets their own color kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that getting more superhero-ish, costume-ish? I don't know.
It's close. I think it's intentionally not too superhero-y, but it's definitely getting borderline.
Any more thoughts on the story? The main.
I thought it was pretty good. It was I mean, maybe they were trying to do a little too much to kind of like bring everything back together. And I
It felt a bit
wonder,
like a couple of issues worth of stuff, yeah, where
right.
you're like, I want to move maneuver people so that they're in New York City, and you're like,
Again, I kind of wonder if they know the end is near, so they gotta move, scoot things along just a little bit, you know, bringing back Voight, getting everyone back together pretty quickly. Though that being said, that there was like a ton of pages of fight, which is great, right? So,
yeah, the that's one of the biggest. I don't know, man. It's
I mean, it's
it
almost,
goes on and
it might be
on, yeah.
bigger than like the clinic brawl, even like just in terms of page count. Some of that went by pretty quickly. And then we finally found out kind of more conclusively what Pit Juice does. It just kind of like combines you with whatever you happen to be around, you know, the metal suit, your family, the antibody, that kind of stuff. So maybe those like weird pit mutants are kind of, you know, guy plus mud, right? And you know, guy plus rock and those kind of things. And just everybody's getting kind of bonded.
Maybe, yeah, there's one of the letters has a theory along those lines as well, but yeah, that's Make
think
it as simple as that.
it's also sort of Gruenwald picking up the slack from Byrne, right? Because I mean, shouldn't have this been detailed in Starbrand? Like that would have kind of made sense. They've been focusing so much on the pit there, but without really giving us any new information.
True, true. There's been a lot of stuff going on there that doesn't really reflect into the other books, and I can't tell if that's the timeline or just we he doesn't tell us what he's doing, and suddenly we get these book out and oh, there's mud monsters now? I don't know. Were
That's
Randy and Dave attacked by mud monsters? No, they were not, so I don't know what to tell
and
you.
some really great face work too, like the early Chuck where he's like lit by the dash, and so he's got this like that evil underlighting as he's kind of like talking about how he doesn't care about his family and he's trying to kill his wife, or that panel where on like page 17, where Voight is gonna use thinks he's gonna use his powers against Randy and Dave. He's got this horrible grin.
Yeah,
You've
expressions are
got
great too.
like Sponge's face, just going from like thin to heavy and such, like panel to panel, like
Right.
it's like.
Yeah, I liked we also had like a bunch of sort of emotional like reveals as they're like, I'm in love with you, right? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll all kind of like have to come to terms with that when they're away from the void situation. Like, remember what you said earlier?
Yeah, so had
And
a
now
crush on me
Randy
for
is
months. I never
black,
noticed.
so now Randy is black,
Oh,
so we can't
yeah.
really hold that against Charlie anymore.
Perfect. Randy joins the
Even blacker than her, really, if we're just.
Randy joins the Nation of Islam up there. Is like it's the next Louis Farrakhan of It's perfect. Perfect. No
Indeed.
problems anymore. Yeah, it's funny. He'd gotten this sort of Jenny Charlie thing at the pit, and now it's been a while, but he's sort of into it once he sees both of them again. Although I think it took a long time for him to recognize Jenny, so
Right.
maybe it's as attractive to him as it is to us, the reader, which is to
Yeah.
say, yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit like Futurama handled like being a man being in love with a mermaid, and like things don't quite work that way. And being made of metal, you might have similar relationship problems.
It's true. Jenny was saying something about that in the jungle, I think. Well, let's call it a wrap. I will give it a nukin
Yeah, easy nukin.
for a grade. I don't know. I'm kind of struggling. It's at least a B plus, maybe an A minus.
I think it's boosted for me based on like the previous book being a little weak. Not the previous DP, but the Psi-Force from last week. So
That's a good point, yeah.
I'm A-minusing it, which is pretty
Yeah.
much DP7's average grade at this point.
Very good. I'm gonna dig into some paranormal mail.
Open
Anything
up
you left?
the mailbag. So people have finally caught up to our observation. I don't know that we ever really complained about having way too many paranormals in the book. They got
Well.
too many of those darn paranormals around, and the group split up besides. There isn't enough room for all of them.
Yeah, as they say, you've got several groups worth. You could go bi-weekly. Well, if Ryan could do 27 pages, 28 pages a month, you could have two bi-weekly books with like a half DP7 and half the other New Universe titles rotating. I'm just saying this because Marvel Comics Presents has just started within the last couple months here.
Oh, right.
So anyway,
But yeah, like, the A lot of the same sort of comments we had seen before, maybe DDT's spin-off or
Yes,
DS
people.
People as a spin-off, which I would be less excited about, but
Oh, come
the
on.
characters weren't that
Both
interesting.
of those would be great. Come on. I mean, assuming your artist is okay. Yeah, the love of ES people and DD teens in particular is good. People like Mutator. People do not like Sponge.
Yeah, I wonder why so many people don't like Sponge.
You know, it's things like this that make me wonder, like, you know, if there is a grain of truth in the like boys club accusations of the back in the day. I mean, there's like a limit, I guess, to how much people will get invested in someone who's not, doesn't have some, I don't know, unique quality or something. And for whatever reason, she always seemed to be kind of like playing catch up to Stephanie or something.
Right. I mean, they both look really similar,
Right.
other than the water absorbing power versus sparkle, but yeah.
Yeah, well, at
Maybe a
least
little bit
one.
of fat phobia, I don't know.
There's There's at least one writer who is really likes her. So she he goes through her sort of character development and how I had the power that first seemed ridiculous, but it actually is extremely powerful. She could be a character with great longevity, as her cells will always have enough moisture in them. And therefore, she will remain youthful for a very long time. She's a
That's not
very
really how
workable
that
character.
it's not really how that works, but okay. I
Yeah, I don't
mean, you
know.
might not have wrinkles, but it doesn't mean you're not gonna die.
Yeah, I don't know. I was gonna say, is it? I think the Facebook fan page was talking. Someone had brought up like that they expected some of the characters to like be have extra long lifespans, and I think he threw out Stephanie and Lenore as both being given the nature of their powers, perhaps could live forever.
Yeah, or even like Mutator or Jenny, like you just don't really know
Any of
what
those
the
would be.
physiological limitations are at that point, but
It's again a shame, part of the shame of the new universe being cut short is the I they would have been forced to be generational and sort of rotate people out over time. But you can, yeah, say that one or two of these, their paranormality gives them extra life, and so
yeah.
they're still there. So.
Just, I mean, I haven't read it yet, but just retcon the war and get somebody with like a classic, Marvel House style to do art and put it on newsprint and just get rolling again, people.
Calling all artists, calling art artists. Anyway, they answer that Sponge is here to stay, Terry. More than that, we can't give you right now. And then a very long letter about a theory that the paranormality is kind of based on your own internal wish. He calls it the Pinocchio syndrome.
Right.
And he says that like Jenny's being in this suit of armor kind of made her want to be encased in metal. Dave's Lander's long sense of inadequacy may have contributed to his being super adequate, to be like
Wouldn't that have given him an invisibility powers or something then?
maybe I'm not a psychologist. It's like I think Mutator, he kind of says that that's his response is to be completely inconspicuous. And then yeah, he brings up Night Mask and how like, oh, you want to work on a dream project? Why don't you be a dream project? Says like his wish fulfillment.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I always like that more though as like the best one, just because that sort of introduced the idea of like what was going on during the white event seemed to have some impact, because he was in a coma and dreaming, so then he gets the dream powers and
That's
So
awesome.
good.
So
It
it
kind
was.
of works too, as this guy's describing, especially Keith's sister, Teddy. All right, name almost escaped. Who's of course wants him to wake up, and then her power is to get him out of the dreams. So.
Yeah, okay. Also a good theory.
And Jack just
Thanks.
wanted to cheat at football, so.
Anyway, fairly short responses to fairly long letters. This issue. Let's
Yeah.
see, anything else? Oh, I probably should have should dig the Wikipedia page on the election of 88 now. Man. Dig into whatever was really going on at the time.
Indeed. You want to do Universe News?
Well, let's take a quick look. Yeah, we've got sorry, House ads. There was the West Coast Avengers, which the definitely the John Byrne arc of five issues where he is reinventing the Vision and possibly some of the other characters. Vision Quest, a five-part epic. As I kind of remember that as being like a lot of deconstruction and reconstruction and not always popular.
Yeah, I definitely did read that one.
Universe News just had the profile, Rodney Ramos, that we touched on last issue. And the official timeline of the new universe, which extends now from August 6th, 1986, it does accelerate a little. All ends at August 28, 1986.
Yeah, still looking at Kickers Inc. number one.
Yeah, we've got almost most of the books are still issue ones. We got
What are some
the
twos and threes?
Merc number one on August 11th, that South Pacific Island he was on. Justice, oh, here it is. Justice is attacked at Rosie's Diner in Justice number three, as he and Rebecca and what's his name, Hoyt Pittman,
Oh,
are
how do you
driving
forget
across the
Hoyt
country,
Pittman?
and Arnie.
Yeah, that was interesting because they mentioned like. In battle, Justice injures his right sword hand. The shock reinforces Tenzin's delusion and causes him to believe his hand is completely destroyed. So they're retconning him, regenerating his
Regenerate.
hand with his mysterious Justice Pal power.
That's right. We have Merc number two comes up just a couple of days later, August 14th, and we're still getting like Stephanie's power first being noticed there at the on the 13th, from DP7 annual. 15th August, the Smashers, led by the paranormally powerful Jack Magnaconti, win the American Football League Super Bowl 65-17. Still doesn't tell us what team they defeated.
No, I think we know that maybe. No.
It's like I'm gonna say we never did get a clear. That's one of the mystery cities. But yeah, the American Football League has its Super Bowl in the middle of August.
Ooh, hot.
Wow. Ouch. Not sure I'd want to do that.
No.
The Philip Nolan Voigt starts opens the clinic, and Ken Connell and in issue number two of Starbrand takes place on August 22nd. And that's also where he meets Jenny Swenson in the woods.
It all just makes me feel nostalgic.
Those were the good days. Yeah, it has Spitfire number two and Starbrand number two is taking place on succeeding days, and then closes the month with Nightmask number three, and that was the sort of fill-in issue where someone had a is it a drug problem?
Yeah, set the record for earliest fill-in issue ever.
Yes.
No, a lot of those books changed writers from one to two because there was like a lot of Archie Goodwin one and then somebody else two.
Someone else three. I gotta say it wasn't working out. I don't know what to do. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, is that it for today?
I think so.
All right, next time we get our overprotective father, Justice.
Justice number 28. Justice forms an alliance of convenience with the Medusa Web to rescue the Psi-Force kids from the Siberian Project. But what is Justice's real reason for joining the rescue mission? Written by Peter David, drawn by Lee Weeks, 32 pages, Mando offset paper, direct sales only, $1.50.
I smell a crossover.
This is I'm actually quite looking forward to. I have no memory of it, so where this is going, very.
Psi-Force kids drawn well again. I'll take it. All
Yeah.
right. Kickersinc.com. Find us there. New Universe Podcast at gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we will see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
All I get is AIDS. Me, the straightest guy I know.
That is a great line. There's just no reasoning with these women.